What's bearable?
Us.
Worldwide IT guy.
When we go on our world tour, we're going to have a stop in Melbourne. Yeah, so where's that?
We're huge in Australia.
Yes, Melbourne.
We're huge down under.
Down under, yep.
Huge.
Melbourne. But I think he'd make an exception. If we ended up in Sydney, he'd probably be all right.
I actually found a really good... No, I have to.
No, you're okay. Fine.
I actually found a really good craft beer bar in Sydney when I was there.
Really?
But then I can't see my screen. There we go.
John's all whacked out.
I don't have much material this week. A short week. It's like, you know, it's like we played Monday night, now we're playing Thursday again. This is tough.
So there may be a pre-record going on because of schedules and whatnot, which, whatever. So you had a good day, Sean. I'm glad to hear that. Mm-hmm. Dion, did you have a good day? Are you ready to do this?
Today?
Yeah.
It's still just to be determined.
It's still that bad, huh?
Yeah, we'll see.
Well, that's...
We only had one good Dion call today.
Yeah.
Oh, we had Dion call.
I think this should be a new segment on the show.
That was progress for you, I feel.
Yeah.
Well, you felt like today's call was progress.
Yeah, he said, hey, I'm sorry, I'm not doing it. No.
Ooh, we had a partial no.
Yeah.
So before we go into that, welcome to the Worldwide IT Guys. I am Steve.
I'm Sean.
I'm Dion.
And John.
And we are the Worldwide IT Guys, and we're here for podcast number 13.
Lucky 13. Here it comes.
So I want to hear, what happened to this call? We said no?
It's the exciting world of Active Directory synchronization into Office 365 meets the complicated world of Active Directory Forest. Love that? Hate that? Understand that?
I'm really sorry. This sounds like the worst topic ever.
Horrible, right? Yeah, this is my day. So, you know, that you guys want to hear about my shit. So this is my shit, okay?
The shit I deal with for you guys.
You want to hear about my shit? You think it's exciting? No. I tell somebody no because guess what? I'm tired of building servers every 3 weeks because we have such a complicated forest. Our directory is crappy. It's not my fault.
It would be fun to assemble like a jump cut of all the different shit analogies you make, like on a week-to-week base. So when I came back from vacation, Sean, I go, how you doing? He goes, Sean, while you've been gone, a different person is taking a shit on my face every day.
Just still
You've also told us the faucet of shit I save you guys from that I keep my finger on. That if I move my finger, all the shit that will come down.
There's a lot of shit analogies.
Yeah, there are.
I don't know how else to describe my job. But it entails a lot of shit.
The faucet of shit. That is
high-tech
awful.
Janitorial services. That's what Dion does.
That's the worst visual ever. Dion with his finger holding the faucet of shit back.
I actually think of Dion every morning because as I walk across the bridge...
This is scary.
There is a bubbling, like, coming out of the mart.
Yes. There is, yeah.
There is, like, some sort of... Something's released from the mart.
Just
yeah, and Dion says, that's the shit I deal with, is coming out of the mart.
It's the excess I don't want to deal with.
You put it into the Chicago River.
Just
put
dump it in the Chicago River.
I have a... since we're short on topics, this is...
John said he was... Go on.
Go ahead.
sorry, we're already saying this will be the worst podcast ever.
So, like, for our listeners that have never visited Chicago, we work right on the Chicago River, which is one of the most polluted rivers in the world. Definitely in North America.
Because we dye it green, or...?
Well, dyeing it green... So I have a story about that that's kind of funny. I once had to do a little presentation about the St. Patrick's Day history of Chicago and how they dye the river green. And it's a pretty funny story because so they started it in like I can't remember the exact time, but it was like the 1920s. It was the head of the plumbers union saw a plumber walking by and he was covered in green. And he's like, what are you doing? And I guess, you know, plumbers, at least back then, if they were trying to find the pipe that had a leak, they would dye your whole water supply green so that they could identify which pipe had a leak. He's like, oh my God, that's a great idea. Let's dye the whole river green for St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, geez.
And he just, he called, he's like, well, who would be in charge of that? And the guy's like, I don't know, like the bridge, he called like the bridge master here. And he's like, I don't know if I'm authorized to tell you that. And he's like, well, that's not a no. So the plumbers union actually dyed it the first year.
And don't dye it?
No, it's still the plumbers union. But this is, so there's two things that I'll get to where I wanted to go. But, they didn't have enough. The dye they used, they couldn't scale up to what they needed or what they felt they needed. So they ended up going to the Air Force, had these special dye packs for, like, if a soldier or, well, I guess a sailor goes overboard, they have these packs they can release so that you can find them more easily in the water. And the plumbers, like, didn't do the calculations because I guess one pack that's about the size of, like, a small aspirin pill will dye, like, the normal above-ground pool entirely green, and they bought 800 pounds.
Oh, my God.
I guess so anyways, the first time they did it, the river was green for, like, 2 weeks.
I'm sure.
And
yeah,
I guess it was this panic, so the city brought out, like, this scientist, and it's just one of my most famous, one of my most favorite Chicago quotes. They're like, can you assure people that it is not unsafe? And the scientist, I remember her name, it was Dr. Frisbee, she goes, the green dye is insignificant compared to the raw sewage and dangerous bacteria in our river. And they're like, see, we told you it's nothing to fear. Like, to them, that was a reassuring quote. You didn't have to fear the green
dye. I always love that quote from the movie The Fugitive.
What's that?
Where he goes, they dyed the river green for one day. Why can't they dye it blue for the 364 days the rest of the year?
It is. It's gotten better. I heard, like, in the 70s it was atrocious. You know, I've only known it.
Well, things are, our mayor wants to get it so clean that we can swim in it.
Good
which
luck.
Which I can't see happening. Or yeah.
They don't even use green anymore.
Well,
it's,
I mean,
orange.
One of the biggest engineering...
They're using orange to make our river green. It's like, what?
It's really bad.
One of the biggest engineering feats in all the world was reversing it. So the Chicago River, you know, used to flow into Lake Michigan.
Yeah. Me too.
And the Chicago River was so polluted that we were ruining the lake for all the other great, you know, the Midwest. So we had to reverse
it. Well, somebody said, wait, that's our drinking water.
Yeah, yeah.
Is this wise? Should we do something about this? And they turned it around.
Yeah.
So, like, 100 years ago, we fixed that. And then, like, 15 years ago, we just let Shell do whatever we wanted to the lake.
Oh, yeah,
now,
yeah,
now
sure.
Now it's completely polluted and it's horrible. But
well, I think
at least
I heard,
it's not us doing it.
I think I saw an article that they talked about actually reversing it again to somehow eliminate the Asian carp.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, no, the carp's south.
Well, but now the carp's so far over, I don't think that would even help anymore.
Yeah.
Because they're coming up the Calmet and everything.
Calumet.
Asian
carp
is growing legs and will overtake us in about 15 years, so we're fine.
Yeah, that's all right.
They're about to leave the river.
We've had a good run.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was, not to stay on this topic too long, but another great Chicago story about the river is, like, so we have this invasive species called Asian carp that's, like, impossible to get rid of and destroys the ecosystem, or changes it at least. But anyways, they built, like, this enormous factory. I don't know if you've heard this story down in southern Illinois, to where they're like, okay, well, we're going to create an economy for it if we encourage fishermen to go get it, because I guess, you know, people don't like to eat it. That'll solve the problem. Like, we'll solve it through capitalism. They're like, well, who's going to eat it? They're like, China, because that's where it's from. But then, they interviewed this economist. So the plant failed. It closed. And this economist is like, I tried to warn them. He's like, you know, Asian people do not eat fresh fish. Like, you just... Like, they did no research. He's like, he goes, even if they had just gone into a Chinese restaurant, they would have seen the aquarium, and they're used to eating fresh food. But I just love that we build a whole factory. We never do any research about whether anyone will buy this product.
Well, I saw, like, a food show where they actually tried to glamorize, like, they brought in all these top chefs to try to make dishes to show people that, oh, you can really eat this fish, and we should be feeding the poor.
I thought it tastes terrible.
It tastes horrible. I had it when I was in China. It was horrible.
Well, it's a bottom feeder, right?
Yeah, it's like any other carp.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Anyway.
Well, sadly, we have nothing but Asian carp jumping around in the rivers, and they haven't made it to the lake though yet, have they?
They have not made it.
Electrocuting fences to stop them from getting into the river to progress further. So
yeah, I saw a story recently that
so they can't reverse the river is my
right,
point.
I guess not.
Unless the point is to reverse the river so that they will drive all of the fish into the electrocuted yeah, right. fence. Yeah.
Oh my God. Electrocute them. Kill them.
All of them.
We need to introduce bigger fish.
Bigger fish.
Fish arms race.
We need to have... we need bull sharks because they can survive in fresh water.
Oh, God.
That'd be kind of cool.
So I'm supposed to apologize to you, Sean. So I gave you a bit of shit at the end of the last podcast because your mic was backwards.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And we did pull off a remote.
Yeah.
But... I sounded like shit.
Oh, you did? Well,
yes.
You sounded fine in the room.
I sounded awful.
Yeah, in room.
In room, you sounded fine. You so okay. On the MP3, you don't sound as good.
No, on the recording, it was really bad.
Oh, that's too bad.
So, my apologies. I knew you were loud enough, and it didn't matter that much.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, it was really bad. We still have some work to do on that front.
We're getting there.
Yeah, we'll sort it out.
We can tweak the remote settings.
Yeah, we have to.
Yes.
We must.
We can do
before
that.
We do it again.
Yeah.
So it's Thanksgiving week for us here in the U.S.
So it's America's greatest holiday, according to Meet the Press.
According to Meet the Press.
Meet the Press.
I don't know what the measure there is,
Meet
but that's great.
Meet the Press Sunday said it could be America's greatest holiday because, you know, there's a war on Christmas and we really don't celebrate anything else and 4th of July. And
so what would it be? Yeah, 4th of July?
Oh, well, I think what they like about it is it's so American that it can't be...
It's American, it's universal.
In their view, deluded by other...
It starts the holiday season,
everybody
goes shopping.
Everybody kind of agrees Thanksgiving is Thanksgiving and it's the kickoff to spending your money. I think that's why it's
Black Friday,
greatest American holiday.
There was a commercial that my son saw and said, "Is that real?" And they're what was it for? They're basically referring to this as Thanksgiving, and it's like whoever's done this. And he said, "If they did it in an ironic way, maybe you could get away with that.
Yeah,
but honestly, Thanksgiving, you can't do that."
No.
Which, you know, our industry is good at finding ways to make us feel dirty.
They're ruining even that. I mean, Black Friday isn't even Black Friday anymore. It's spilled and deluging into...
Meaning that it's gone into Thursday now?
Thursday.
And,
yes, now we're
stores are open.
Finish your dessert. Because we got to go shopping.
Put it in a to-go bag.
Yeah, right. We're done here, family. We're not even finishing football, all right? We're out. We got to go shopping. And, you know, the sad thing is I have a cousin who works for...
Why dine? Just turkey at the mall. What's the big deal?
I have a cousin who works for Target. And every year she's worked at Target and she's got a great job and she does all these really cool things where she gets to set up the aisles in like September for what Christmas will look like in all the stores everywhere. So they play around in certain stores and they say, all right, you do this mock setup here, you do that mock setup, and she works at Target. And the winning mock setup wins, and then they do that nationally, right? It's a really cool job.
Cool.
So anyway, so she works for Target, and she's had to work every Thanksgiving/Black Friday since she started working at Target.
Sure.
And, you know, she's gotten to this marketing thing, and it's great, and she loves it. And this year, she literally can't even have dinner because she's got to leave to go work so early. So every year it's gotten worse, is my point. So she graduated, she got the job, she landed at Target, she had to work Black Friday. Then she had to work earlier Black Friday. Then she had to work at midnight on Thursday. Then she had to go in at 10 o'clock. Now it's 6 o'clock on Thanksgiving because – and it's just like every year it's earlier.
Is that when they open?
And earlier.
So that was part of my question, was like 6 p.m.? Is that when the stores – when are they opening?
They each open at a different time on Thanksgiving in your Dirty Dozen 12 topic that you wanted to bring up.
Which is more than that, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, it's way more than that. But the Dirty Dozen
– what's the Dirty Dozen? I'm not familiar with
that. It's the big box stores that open on Thanksgiving literally during dinner time.
I see.
I will name the Dirty Dozen.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Kohl's, Best Buy, Walmart, Target, Kmart, JCPenney, Toys R Us, Sears, Macy's, Michaels, Big Lots, and Shoe Carnival.
Well, it sounds like most of those companies...
How did they get in?
They're huge.
It sounds like most of those companies are struggling. I mean...
Yeah, I think this is a fad.
But the idea is they're dirty dirty because they're opening early. Dirty because they're opening early. That's kind of the thing.
Since that list was assembled, they've added Old Navy, Family Dollar, Bass Pro Shops, Dollar General.
Bass Pro Shops.
Victoria's Secret.
Oh, well, I mean, Bass Pro Shops.
That's okay.
It's got
that's
all
right.
Office Depot, Office Max. Right. Office stores? Why?
Office Max.
And Dick's Sporting Goods.
So Fax machines are on special.
It has grown.
Yeah.
So people, it's a fad? I don't think so.
I think it's like an arms race against online realtors, and like this is our real world experience. And I think, like, you know, like in any war, like you have to see how far you have to go. I think we're going to find, and I could be wrong, that people aren't going to want to do that. There won't be enough people that'll show up on Thanksgiving Day to keep justifying it.
No, here's the problem.
I just can't imagine, and maybe I'm just living in a bubble with the way I see the world. I just can't imagine a plurality of people, or even just enough of a minority, wanting to spend their Thanksgiving that way.
Right.
But here's the thing. So most people can't afford a day off. Let's just reality. Let's reality check in America right now. There's enough people living at an income level that they can't afford to take a day off. They get Thanksgiving off. They can go shopping on Thanksgiving. They can go shopping on Thanksgiving and compete for what is essentially a product that they would normally not be able to afford, but they'll battle to get it. A big screen TV, a arcade system, or a gaming system for their kid, whatever it is, they're able to compete for that. Some people will always try to do that because they don't have any other choice. But I will tell you this. If you go to any store that has a Black Friday sale this week, right now, they're already in Black Friday sales mode. I went to the mall because I wanted to go get something for Christmas to stock up already, and every single store we're already Black Friday sales right now. Like, come in, it's 40% off everything in the store right now. Just please walk in our store and buy something right now. What'll happen on Black Friday is the thing that I bought for 40% off will be, oh, if you bought one, you get another one free, or it'll be 60% off, or whatever. But right now, they're already in. If you're looking to shop on Black Friday, just buy it now. You're already getting a great deal. If you don't want to, if you want to avoid getting trampled and the risk of whatever,
I mean, it is like the Hunger Games.
So my takeaway,
ridiculous.
My takeaway on this, I'm really disappointed. You're still shopping, Dion. You should be like done in June, right?
I was close. The problem is, there's a few things, and I've learned this. This is the problem with my kids. So with my one daughter is the fact that if you don't buy it when you see it, it's gone before Christmas.
Right. Right.
So if you see it in August, September, October, you buy it, or else it'll be gone November, December. And that's like the thing.
Oh, the product will be gone.
The toy. Right. Yeah. The toy that I want to get her for Christmas, or Santa wants to get her for Christmas, or whomever wants to get her for Christmas.
Yeah.
You need to buy it 3 months in advance or 2 months in advance, or it'll be gone and you won't be able to get it. So I've been trained because I've seen this. It's happened. And so that's my point.
Fair enough.
So
can somebody explain why I've developed a drinking problem? I've spilled twice. Two drinks and I'm spilling on myself.
This is that Dion has his beer resting on the computer, which is a confident man. I couldn't do that.
Well, here's the problem. If I put it on the glass, it makes noise. The mic picks it up. And then Steve gives me a dirty look. And then what's going on here?
Wow.
So I put it on the computer.
He'd much rather you...
I'd rather put it on the
computer. Fry out the computer. That'll be silent. That won't affect the MP3.
Well, actually, that computer could go. We're all done with that one.
Okay, all right. It is nothing more than a coaster.
I was going to say, on the flip side, to the Dirty Dozen, stores like REI, I'm not sure you heard what they're doing. They're actually giving all their employees Black Friday off and paying them that day and telling them to go outside and do something.
That's very REI.
What's REI?
Exactly.
It's like a Bass Pro Shops outdoor camping and hiking.
It is
store.
So not a Bass Pro Shops.
Well, no.
Pro Shops for
outdoor.
Like yuppies kind of.
Super
or?
Hippie, yuppie.
Oh, okay. Yes. I got you.
It's the crunchy granola.
Oh, like, I see. Okay. Yeah.
That group. Like Bass Pro Shops are I want to drive my four-wheeler in
sure,
here.
Yeah.
And
okay,
shoot
and REI is like rock climbing and very expensive
okay.
camping.
REI,
right.
You need to bike to REI. There is no parking lot. You have to be on a bike.
Bike there. You're buying a North Face something or other.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's,
as you can see, I'm not really an outdoors type.
Really?
No,
I never would have picked that.
Come on, you camped a couple of times with your sons this year, right?
Well, we do what's called Indian guides, where there's like, you know, they're cabins.
Yeah.
They're not heated or anything, but there's at least like a cot that you lay in.
Oh, that's good.
You know, so it's not that bad.
That's not bad at all.
Yeah.
My son is doing the camping thing these days, mm-hmm. and they go pretty much through the winter. They camped on the one of the coldest nights we've had. It was, you know, down to 30, and they were out there in their tents, and I went, not me. Thanks.
Yeah.
I'm out.
Yeah, yeah.
And as much as I say that, I have been signed up for the heated cabins for the December camping. So I'm going to do that once with him because there was a heated cabin involved. I used to love to tent camp. I love being out of doors. I don't know anymore. My idea of camping is waking up in the morning to a nice pot of coffee, having a good breakfast, walking out and sitting on the deck.
When was your last tent camping trip? Was it Irk's Tennessee thing, or did you do something since then? Because that was my only and last time I've ever done. It was my first, last, and only
one and
time.
Done.
I went to the Smokies. I was in a tent. I was in a sleeping bag. I was, and you know, yeah, there was probably, what was there? There was a bathroom / shower a quarter of a mile away.
But, yeah, but that was normal like U.S. state park type camping,
yeah.
Which is nice camping.
It was convenient, but like still you're sleeping on dirt.
And you being a germaphobe.
You're not sleeping on dirt. You're in a tent which has a floor that's not dirt.
I felt like it was dirt.
And if you shop at REI, you don't even touch
dirt.
I'm
with you, Dion. I'm with Dion.
We
didn't involve.
I have not. I think you and I may be equal on this. I don't think I've camped since.
No. I won't do it again.
But I grew up,
I mean,
you know, like canoeing in the boundary waters up between Canada and the U.S., where literally whatever you have on your back is what you have.
But I would do that. That sounds great. As long as I'm sleeping in a nice, warm, comfortable bed, I'll canoe, I'll hike, I'll do whatever
saying.
You want.
That's not what I said. Yeah, is that what I said?
Yeah. I want to mint my pillow at night.
No. Dion, here's what happened.
I'll canoe.
No.
I'll rough it the entire day. I mean, it's a long day.
Unlimited Wi-Fi.
Yeah. What's the Wi-Fi password around here?
What's the Wi-Fi password? Ranger?
Excuse me,
what's
Ranger?
The Wi-Fi password?
So here's what they do. They put you, so you have a nice cabin experience.
Okay.
And you wake up in the morning and you take all your stuff and they throw you in a big bus and they cart you out and they drop you off with a canoe and a backpack and they say, go.
Okay.
And fine. Where's the water? Well, it's just like maybe a quarter mile. So you carry your canoe in your backpack to the water, get in the water, and then it was 7 days to paddle our way back to the cabin.
Yeah, no, I'm not doing that.
That
they had said, by the end of this paddle, you will be in your bed at midnight. I would have said, sure, great, done.
Sure.
Mint on my pillow, warm shower.
You know what?
Ranger, are there any nuts in this park? I'm allergic to nuts.
I can bust my hump an entire day, but I'm not sleeping.
I think
swimming in a canoe for
I smell
days.
A worldwide IT guy's out.
I absolutely
I would, yeah, I don't like
no, I would do it. Yeah. That'd be fun.
Seven
I totally
days?
Smell this. Doesn't have to be 7 days, but like a long weekend. Where
I
we
could
go,
do a long weekend. It's,
where we
we
go,
already did that. Tennessee wasn't horrible. I just, 7 days, forget about it.
No. I love this opportunity.
No. He's like my cousin Vinny or something
no
in the forest.
Freaking way. Forget about it.
Forget about it.
No.
I think this is a great idea.
I think it'd be fun.
I already surprised everybody in Tennessee. Nobody. I had never been tamping. I never did anything near that.
Yeah, he came with his Dora the Explorer.
I was a big
sleeping
joke.
Bag. It was
very
awesome.
I had a sleeping bag. I borrowed. Literally, I didn't have Emma at the time. I borrowed my neighbor's twin bed Dora sleeping like a twin sheet or something. So we went camping. I blew up my air mattress. We're in the tent. We're doing our thing, and I put Dora on top of it, and everybody got a kick out of it. So
it was awesome.
Yeah.
So next summer, Worldwide IT guys in the backwoods, we're going to do some camping and canoeing, and don't worry. It's great. The bears don't bother you at all.
Yeah, right. I don't have to shower for 2 days. It's not a big deal. I can sleep on an air mattress and all that stuff. It's fine. It's just 7 days.
Whatever you're sleeping on, you're carrying. That's all you got to keep in mind.
Air mattresses are pretty heavy.
Yep. All good. So,
there's no way.
Thanksgiving.
Don't worry, Sean. My air mattress is a full. We could both sleep on it. We'll take turns carrying it. Well, these guys won't even know.
That's... you can take whatever you want. See? You can take a full mattress. It's not going to bother me.
Queen size.
You're sleeping together
you
on a
carry
queen.
Carry the bear. I'll carry the mattress. We're all set.
Well done. I had speaking of the beard, I went with my dad and his buddies once, and they all had these nice little liter-sized bottles. And it's funny that, you know, we were all sort of figuring out how to pack up and head off into the woods. And this was a different experience where they didn't cart you out and then you paddled your way back. We actually left from the cabin, paddled our way out, camped at a base camp, and then like did little day trips. But, you know, I'm a dumb kid at the time. I'm still a dumb kid, but they're like, hey, can you fit this in your pack? And there are these little liter bottles. And I'm like, sure, no problem. Fit in my pack. Yeah, I got room for another one. And I'm carrying now like three, maybe four of these 1 liter bottles, all scotch. And no nice. Idea. I'm carrying all these booze until that first night when we get out there. And
hey, kid.
Hey, yeah, do you have those bottles? Sure, no problem. Hand them out. And everybody's drinking. I'm going, I was carrying your booze the whole day. All of these little walks that we have to go on. I've got a canoe on my back. I got a big pack with four liter bottles of liquid, all for you guys to have your scotch. I was young enough where it didn't matter to me, you know?
That's why they make Camelbacks now.
That's why you can carry it, yes.
On a backpack.
Right on your back. I don't know if we did this, our agency did this thing for a client where there was a virtual reality. I don't know if you guys remember seeing this. It was around a Christmas time event at a retailer where you got a postcard, and if you put the postcard down and you held your phone up, it like became three-dimensional. You looked at your phone, and a character popped up and kind of did some stuff.
The Band-Aid stuff?
No.
Like that. But not the same, but like that. I don't know if you saw this, but the Postal Service has now got their own little app that is this virtual reality thing.
No.
And it's similar, where in the brochure, you've got the stuff to do it. But once you get the app, what they're doing is they're taking their, you know, the U.S. Postal Service logo that is on the side of a mailbox, if you ever see a mailbox.
Yeah.
The eagle?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And what they're doing is that logo, now if you stand sort of away from a mailbox that has that logo becomes like a billboard. So you hold your phone up, it sees it in the little viewfinder of the camera, and all of a sudden you're getting a playback on your phone, which is a commercial, an ad of some sort.
Oh, okay.
Why am I asking about this? This is virtual advertising, and this is what I think Google with their, you know, Google Glass thing, I think was their long play.
Yeah.
Was the ability to now, and it's...
Well, and they bought that... what's that other company they bought? Vocular or something like that?
Oculus, which is...
Yeah, Oculus, thank you.
Facebook bought them, but...
Oh, was it? Oh, I thought Google bought them. Sorry, yeah.
But my question, you know, Oculus, I don't foresee the day when everybody's going to be wandering around with an Oculus headset on.
Mm-hmm.
But I do see the day when there should be some sort of light, more like the Google Glass thing, light thing that projects in front of you. And all of our advertising is going to go virtual.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys think that's a reality, or do you think, you know, is what, first of all, the U.S. Postal Service, I'm like, really?
The cutting edge?
The post office? Well, what are they doing? But do we see the day when the sign, you see it in like television coverage, right? You're watching a baseball game in our world, probably a soccer game in another part of the world, where the ads on the side of the field are all virtual.
Yeah.
In the stadium, you're seeing
something else, if anything. Yeah.
Or nothing.
Yeah.
And is that going to be sort of the reality of the world? Like, you're wandering around and you just see a green screen if you're wandering around without the device. But if you have the device, then you're going to see this ad or that ad, and it's going to be so targeted at you as an individual.
I think it will, yeah.
It's a Minority Report, right?
Isn't it? Right. Yeah. When he's walking through the terminals, the malls. And...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think...
And they could do it for everything. Like, they could do product placement in movies where there might be dynamic templates, like where he's pouring a different cereal, like James Bond is eating a different beverage or drinking a different beverage based on your taste.
Yeah.
You know, like, I might see the Heineken label. Right. You might see, you know, Amstel Light or whatever.
I just was talking about this as to why certain ads appear on, like, Facebook because of your cookie history.
Uh-huh. And,
You shop for something on Amazon, therefore...
They're all over.
And I had to explain this to a bunch of people where college kids are, like, going into their friends' computers and visiting all these, like, crazy websites. And the next time their buddy logs into Facebook and they look at all these ads, it's like... How to have a longer penis erection for, you know, because they were Googling and searching and trying to look for, you know, dick pumps for, like, you know. So, like, oh, okay, well, wait, why is Facebook telling me I need a dick pump? I never look for that, but maybe I should look into that.
So that's so funny that far we've come. That we back in when I was in college, we used to sit and watch TV and call the 1-800 numbers and subscribe our friends to get mailing for
It wasn't even 10 years ago that I was getting like
if we were at a buddy's house,
Playboy,
we would,
because I had a buddy who would always sign me up for Playboy and Maxim and whatever. He'd put my name in and all that stuff, and you get a free issue. And my wife would be like, "Why are you subscribing to Maxim?" I'm like, "I did not subscribe to Maxim. I did not subscribe. I got like," and I'm like, "Fondakis, stop doing this shit."
My friends are hilarious.
My friends.
You don't have to bleep that out either, because nobody knows who that is. Anyways, so I just Googled, like you said, the post office, and they're doing this virtual reality thing. The USPS just lost $5 billion this year.
Well, they're trying to make it up by building little apps.
$5 billion.
There's a whole thing behind that, not to get into like the politics about that, but they've been set up to fail where... the Senate, about 6 years ago, rewrote how they have to pay their pensions. So they have to, like, pay their pensions, like, in real time or something like that, which, like, no other organization has to do.
So they're losing money because of
their pensions. Money on purpose, by design. You know, there's a lot of opponents of the post office in our government, and they've sort of set them up to fail. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what happens. I hope they don't fail, because I think it'll cost an arm and a leg to mail anything.
Well, I mean, they should just cut out, like, weekend service, because who actually reads mail?
Oh, yeah, they could easily consult. I mean, the mail is not as important as it used to be, or you at least don't need it as regularly as you used
to. But what the Postal Service seems to have done is effectively become a third-party supplier for
Amazon,
for the people that need to have ways of shipping and want a competitive, you know, argument to the FedExes and the
DHLs
and the, you know, pick your delivery service.
In two sentences, I'm looking at this article. It says it's shrunk the staff of the post office by nearly 300,000 people, but it still has a staggering labor cost. 80% of its budget goes towards its workers. Under a 2006, the service has to pre-fund 75 years worth of health benefits for retired workers, something no other company,
yeah,
much less of a government agency, has to do.
So there, so, when you're retired, yeah, your pension has to be paid in full, like, when you retire, which is, no other organization pension does that.
Here's,
and there's no way
the
they can
30 years of your
yeah,
life.
Yeah, there's no other.
That's unheard of in Illinois.
Oh my God.
Well, in Illinois, they don't pay for it 30 years after.
You don't get paid your salary. I,
the best policy is probably somewhere in the middle, but
you just don't get paid. What are you talking about? Yeah. You're a teacher, you want to get paid?
Illinois is like, you guys are schmucks.
Anyways.
We got guys dead we haven't paid yet.
I just seriously love how Illinois is giving IOUs to people that win the lottery.
The lotto winner's the best. Yeah, that's as so good as money, win, sir. I just keep thinking of that from Dumb and Dumber, where they open up the briefcase suitcase, and it's just all these notes.
That's like an IOU.
That's a big one. You might want to hold on to that one.
If you haven't seen The Daily Show from like a month ago with how they did this whole segment on Illinois lottery, and they interview a couple, and the couple's like, oh my God, we won $2 million. Yeah, we're waiting for the state to pay us. And they're like, okay, state, why don't you interview us? They, and the state of Illinois refuses to interview anybody from Daily Show, these people, whatever. And then they go back to the couple at the end of the thing, and they're like, well, listen, why don't we just go to the, like, you know, we're going to all go to all these stores and say, here's an IOU. We'll pay you when we get the money from the state, right? And it's very hilarious, right? And at the end of the segment, Daily Show goes to the same couple who won the $2 million, and they're like, all right, so, yeah, you're not getting paid. So obviously you're not going to buy any more tickets. They're like, oh, no, we continue to buy tickets every week. And they're like, what the? What are you doing? Why are you buying more tickets? You're not getting paid for your $2 million.
Yeah, I think the lottery.
Why are you still buying tickets?
The lottery.
And that's the whole point. It's like,
we're a very dumb people.
Yeah, exactly. You're still buying tickets that populist. You know you won't get paid on?
The lottery just did a big ad campaign thanking users for continuing to play.
Hey guys, thanks for playing. Even
we love
you're not
you. We love you for spending your money, even though we will never pay you.
You guys are dumb shit.
Us, because that's all you're doing. Yeah, is funding.
They should just say now it's like hilariously appealing lottos now that they know they don't actually have to pay.
Yeah.
Like it should be the prizes should be like, you never pay a parking fine ticket for the rest of your life.
Like political impunity or something.
You get a speeding ticket.
You can kill one person.
25 speeding tickets.
Okay, I would buy lottery tickets. I'm allowed to kill somebody?
That would be great. Yeah, if they just monetized other parts of the
get out of jail card. Yeah. Here we go.
Oh jeez.
Oh.
I love this idea.
Yeah.
Our state is so messed up.
Spike Lee would have another movie ready to go. It would be Chirac Part 2.
Yeah.
That's like done. Anyways.
Oh man.
If you haven't heard of Chirac, Google it.
Yeah, I was reading some reviews about it today. It's
I really want to see it.
It's actually different than what I thought. I thought it was going to be about like what's going on in Chicago, but it's actually a Shakespeare.
Well, it's an old Greek tragedy.
Yeah,
that was an old Greek tragedy that basically the women of, I think, Athens refused to have sex with men until they end the Trojan War.
Right.
So
end the war. Yeah. We won't have sex with you until you stop gangbanging, essentially.
Yeah.
You gangbang, you don't have sex. That's
satire. So it's actually
part
of
the movie.
Yeah, satire instead of a documentary.
Which gangbang are we talking about here?
He's talking about Chirac and young people gangbanging.
Right.
You're saying and the gang violence.
Yes.
There you go. Thank you.
And then we'll have a gangbang. Is what he's
saying.
That's
what I was looking.
That's what he's trying to. It's kind of confusing the way you're saying it.
Yeah, gangbang.
Quit banging so we can bang.
Yes. Right. So the violence needs to stop in order for you to have sex.
For you to have sex.
Right.
Back in Trojan, like,
same
ancient
thing.
Greek times.
Same thing.
They wanted a gangbang? Is that what you're saying?
They wanted to end a war.
They wanted to end the Trojan War, so they held out sex until the men surrendered.
So they held out the gangbang.
So they based in Chicago, and only on the south side of Chicago. They don't, even though violence is everywhere in Chicago now. So.
No, only Sox fans.
Yeah, correct. Only Southsiders are gangbangers. But so the women hold out to stop the gun violence in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
So the interesting part is it's gotten good reviews, and the fact that it doesn't have these tones of like racial or anything like that. It's just a straight up. It like the reviews from everybody are like it makes you laugh, it makes you think, it makes you cry. You know, Yeah, I mean, like cats. It made me laugh. Yeah. It made me cry. Give it a 10.
I really want to see it.
The equation on cats is a good one. Well, I'm sure it's just
well, and it is. There are musical numbers in it too, apparently.
Really?
Yeah. So, well, I think it's like a Greek tragedy where you have, you know, in Greek tragedies you have the chorus that'll do. You know, I don't know how familiar people are with. I had to do a lot of classics in my college education, but yeah, like that was like sort of like what you would usually do is you would have like. You know, an interlocutor, you know, and he would be doing a speech and then people would be singing back to him. And I think Spike Lee has actually adapted that to the modern world where you have a narrator who talks to the crowd
and then
Jackson. People sing back. Yeah, yeah. I love Spike Lee. I can't wait to see it.
Well,
I
think all the reviews really I've seen
will be one of those that we should all see
is
based on
out?
The fact that...
It's out. It's going to be distributed by Amazon. It's not out yet, so they just released it for review. So the press has seen it.
Okay.
And then I think it's going to be available 4th. On Amazon.
It premiered in Chicago on Friday.
I don't know if it's coming. I think it's also coming out in theaters, but I think it's also available for instant download.
Oh, I didn't know.
Because I think it's an Amazon-produced movie.
I did not see the reviews Dion saw. I saw pretty bad reviews, like 2.5 stars.
I saw some all over the... I think DNA Chicago, which is a pretty cool aggregator for Chicago stuff. And it said they were kind of all over the map. Some thought it was a masterpiece. Some thought it was kind of weak, you know. Well, I think a lot of people, sort of like what Dion's saying, went in there with expectations that it was going to be a very different movie.
It's like a documentary.
Yeah, some people, I think wanted it to be a really powerful, serious drama. And then it's got elements of other, you know, genres, which I think is kind of cool. I really want to see it.
I think if you go into it with one... preconceived notion and it's completely different, some people react to that differently, right? Some
sure, yeah.
Surprise, some people are let down. And I don't know why Spike Lee does that, though. So Spike Lee didn't, like, nobody who made the movie saw the movie until the premiere on Friday.
Yeah.
People who were critics who were invited, like, didn't get, like, even, like, a synopsis of what they were about to see until they saw it. So Spike Lee pulled this whole, like, it's very controversial. Nobody likes the name of it. You know, Father Flager is involved, and we've got this John Cusack playing him and this and that. And I'm going to give you enough detail so you know like a little bit about it. But then when you actually see the story, you're going to be like, I had no idea that was what I was going to see. And that's kind of hit or miss, right? So
sure,
like, I didn't even see like a trailer for the movie. Did you see a trailer for the movie?
No.
So it's
he
like
created
a blind...
an event is what he did.
So I mean, and that's a different way to promote a movie because I think it already had enough negative stigmatism. But you know, Spike Lee's main thing was don't be the one phrase he wants everybody to remember about this movie is don't be like this movie shouldn't be what you should be like torn up about. It should be the content and the violence that's happening in Chicago that you should be torn up about.
Right.
The movie is supposed to invoke a rage in you that says, we got to stop this. Not, oh, this movie's ridiculous and Spike Lee's an asshole. Like, you're missing the point.
But that's true of 90% of, you know, art, right? So he's created buzz and some group sense of what the hell are you doing? Why are you doing this? He's talking about, and he's frustrated, I'm sure, that he's talking about what he called it and how it played out and what he's done as a filmmaker and as a promoter and all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And of course he's like overreacting to, let's not talk about this. Focus on the content. Focus on the reality of what we're trying to expose here.
But you think of the depth at which Spike Lee is promoting this movie, and did anybody even know what Sean had mentioned about how that was a historical...
No, first time I've heard
that. Yeah. Well, I don't know if he wants people to know that. You know, I don't... You know, yeah, I don't know.
But that's...
It's a vehicle. You think it's more of a vehicle for him. But yeah, this is the way I'm doing it. And that's...
Yeah.
Film historians, classics historians, whatever. Some people are going to get that, but that's immaterial. The point is...
Yeah.
It was the way I chose to tell it.
Mm-hmm.
But Sean's a modern-day philosopher.
He's got a philosophy degree, right?
I got a philosophy degree.
I mean, look at the hat.
Much to the chagrin of Mark Rubio. For some reason, have you guys been, not to change the subject, but have you been seeing how, like, the Republican candidates have been bashing philosophy majors?
God,
like,
I'm
taking it on the chin in every debate.
Oh, God.
They're like, well, nobody wants to do the trades anymore, but let me tell you. America hasn't hired a philosopher for 2,000 years. Like, that's what Ted Cruz said. And then the
statistics completely combat.
Yeah, like, apparently, like, philosophy majors actually do kind of well. Like, their average pay is, like, above $80,000 a year.
Wait, you know, a politician somewhere just spouted off without some detail? Yeah.
But they keep saying philosophy. Well, I used to, you know, it's funny. When I interviewed, so I basically,
you won your interview, by the way?
I got, well, by the time I reached here, I had enough experience that it didn't matter. But when I was coming out of college,
the reason we hired him.
I knew not to mention philosophy when I got hired here.
I had people that would interview me that were like, why did you major in that? Or like, why would you, like HR people that were so confused by that. And I was like, well, you know, I always knew like I wouldn't be a good fit for that company.
So why did you?
I just really loved the questions and the writing. I loved being a... And my goal was to just get a doctorate in it and teach. But then Y2K came along, and I was basically just hired by Ernst & Young to
and
work.
So you
on
saw
Y2K.
A paycheck.
Rolling in money.
And here, and here you are. Money.
Here I am now.
Yeah. You didn't mention philosophy in your interview.
Highest paid man in the group.
But you probably mentioned World's Dumbest Man.
I'm sure
And we looked it up right away.
Yeah, my degree was probably... On my resume, I would think, probably, or maybe I just said undergrad, I don't know, I probably said philosophy, on my resume somewhere. I don't think I actually mentioned that my website back then was World's Dumbest Man.
You totally
I think
did,
you Googled
we...
it. I think you had Googled it.
We did not. You just talked about being in stand-up.
Oh, okay, all right.
And we're like, we need to hire this guy.
I'm doing all I can not talk about the domain you've let slide through your fingers over the past couple of years.
We talked about that on a couple podcasts ago.
Yeah.
So
we talked about.
We can't. Yeah, we can't talk about that. Yeah.
Oh yeah, we talked about that.
We talked about that.
You came up again today, by the way.
You were in that conversation.
I know. I just.
Interesting. Philosophy was like my favorite subject when I was in school.
Yeah.
And it was mostly because I was able to just. Frankly, I was able to bullshit.
It attracts, you know, and I liked that aspect of it. You know, a lot of people who become philosophy undergrads go to law school, you know, like people who like to argue, you know, it's the most popular major for law school, incoming law school people.
Didn't know that.
Well, they encourage you, like if you go to your counselor in undergrad, so... three of my brothers and sisters are lawyers. They were all philosophy majors. I was the only one that didn't want to be a lawyer. But so I guess if you tell your counselor as an undergrad, I want to be a lawyer, they often try to steer you to philosophy.
Push you that way.
Because they also say, like, supposedly, whatever test you have to take to get into law school, I don't know, is that GSAT? I don't know what it is. But
LSAT, right?
LSAT, yeah. Philosophy majors tend to test higher. Than other majors, and they think it's because of all the reading and writing they're forced to do that they're just
interesting.
They're more equipped for a reading and writing intensive test.
Intellectual debate that happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I enjoyed that debate and mostly enjoyed the fact that, like, I could have those conversations in a classroom and argue with my peers and my professor, and it didn't really matter. It wasn't like a black and white answer.
Yeah, definitely.
Everything that you dealt with, right? You could just stand on a position, present enough of a case and unlike what I'm doing now, a coherent conversation. and you'd get a decent grade.
Yeah.
Right?
I graduated the year The Matrix came out, and my philosophy professors were all like, this fucking movie has ruined our whole goddamn college. Because, like, there would always be some debate whether it's truth or art, whatever, and we're getting into, like, you know, maybe the specifics of it. There'd just be some dude in the back, yo, what if we're in a computer? And, like, every teacher would be like, well, it doesn't matter. He's like, no, we could be in a computer. We could be a jar. We could be a brain in a jar in a computer. And he'd be like, but it doesn't change the dynamics of the debate. Like, we're still, you know, there's still rules. Like, you know, what's your opinion? He goes, I don't know. I'm worried we're on a computer.
Yep.
Just like every class, yeah. Somebody would say, what if we're in a computer?
We're in the Matrix. That changes everything.
That's funny.
Well, I just enjoyed the debate over what was art and what was, like, religion and what was, you know, any, pick your topic and just be able to go at the realities of, it's all made up.
Oh, yeah,
there's,
sure,
there's
yeah.
Position, yeah, of there's course, this, yeah. There's that, there's perspective, and if you had a strong enough one, you might sway the audience, but that was about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Good stuff. So, you mentioned, Ted Cruz and
Mark Rubio was another guy who was bashing philosophy majors, God. You know. Yeah.
American politics is horrible right now. Let's not even
it is hilarious. It's gotten to be hilarious. I love that right now, like, so Ben Carson has this autobiography, who's a front runner for the Republican nomination, one of the world's leading kids brain surgery at Johns Hopkins. Uh-huh. But this is what I think is so amazing about modern America. He has an autobiography. I think it's called, like, Gifted Hands or Smart Hands or something like that. And it's about how
he's the worst hands. Anyways.
But, well, I think his hands are good, but, you know, he could use more handling. So he has a narrative. His narrative is basically that he was a troubled kid, poor area Detroit, was leading down a path towards prison, prays to God after almost knifing somebody, changes his life right then, goes to Yale. And he said he went to go kill somebody, the blade hit a buckle, blade broke in half, and he didn't kill the person, then he asked God for forgiveness and changed his life. But this is what's amazing. Like apparently, so the press is now, he's running for president, they're investigating everything, and they can't find anyone to corroborate this story, and everybody from the time period is like, no, he's the most mild-mannered guy. I just love that in modern America, we have a guy running for president who goes, listen, this is a smear campaign, I did try and kill a guy. Anyone who tries to tell you I didn't try and kill a guy is a liar.
I was a badass.
Yeah, I will not stand for these lies about me, I want to be president. I tried to kill a man. Like, I mean, when in U.S. history has a guy argued
no
that he yeah. did try
I attempted murder.
Don't try and say that I was a mild mannered, level headed person. I'm running for president.
The like, Trump quotes, the SNL quotes.
I mean, it's just
hilarious. This
it's
guy
hilarious.
Is unbelievable.
And both sides are hilarious. Clinton, like, you know, is hilarious too. Like, they're all hilarious.
But isn't that a bit of a sway from, like, the political historians in the group will find this this reference, but Gary Hart, who remembers?
Oh, yeah, in the 80s, Hart, right? The affair.
So, you know, you go back to Clinton and you talk about inhaling or Bush or whomever, like inhaling.
I smoked, but I did not inhale. That was Clinton's defense. Yeah.
So you got that. But before that was Gary Hart and the little scandal about women and what was going on in that world. And there was this whole, like, everything was a scandal because it was wrong. You wouldn't do this.
Yeah, yeah.
And now we're swayed the other way, where it's like, no, if you claim you didn't do anything, everybody's going to go, bullshit, you did something.
Yeah.
So why not go to, I knifed a guy. Yeah, I did that.
Sure,
Oh, yeah, but it was okay because I hit a buckle and it broke. Eh, whatever. I found God and I moved on.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't even get it.
I
don't get it.
One of my favorite response. I was just talking to somebody about this today. Like, you know, so Al Franken, he's the guy. He was on Saturday Night Live in the 70s, and now he's Minnesota's senator.
Yes.
So when he was running, we were on the cusp of turning from, did you do drugs, like caring about whether you did drugs, to where we're at now, where I don't think we care. But so he was in that middle area. But anyways, I asked him, like, did you ever do cocaine in the 70s? I'm saying, like, well, you know. But anyways, his response I thought was so great. He goes, I only did enough cocaine to stay awake to make sure somebody else didn't do too much cocaine.
Very responsible. Good for Al Franken.
Sounds like a designated driver.
Yeah.
Good for him.
And that's why he should be a governmental leader. He's right there. He was responsible.
I actually saw Al Franken speak at a conference.
Oh, really?
Down in Florida called Lotusphere.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What was he like? See, I like Al Franken.
He was actually really funny. This is before his political campaign, so it was he was more of a comedian than a politician.
Sure,
so he was actually really funny.
Yeah.
Making fun of, like, computer people and everything.
Yeah.
So is Trump dead? Is he done?
No, I thought he just retook the lead.
No.
No, no, he's...
It's close,
he's though. Basically shooting himself in the foot with all these comments he's making about...
That's the problem.
It is a... It's a crazy campaign. It's insane, you know?
I think... You know, the last thing I heard from Trump was he was... So everybody apparently signed something. All the Republicans signed something saying, I will not run on a, you know, as an independent
yeah.
or on another ticket if I don't get the yeah. nomination. And he was one of those guys that signed this and now has come out like blatantly saying, oh, if I don't get the nomination, I'm definitely running independent. Definitely going alone.
Yeah, yeah.
And
that's hilarious.
That's, I think, a measure of the man. But yes, he has said some interesting things of late.
So, yeah, he talked about creating a database of
Muslims,
registry,
yeah.
Muslim registry and
politics. Really?
I wonder,
politics is horrible.
Well, absolutely.
But
horrible.
This is one thing that I think is interesting about Trump. I wonder if it's going to work. Like I wonder if the primary voters. I think once he gets into the big states where you have more cosmopolitan areas, like I don't think he's going to do as well.
Really?
But I think, you know, I wonder. See, I feel most politicians do this thing where, like, I just don't want to offend anyone. Like, they give you the most sanitized answers. They never take a position. I think he's a guy who's like, I honestly feel in his heart of hearts, he doesn't give a shit if he's president or not.
No, he doesn't
this
give
is
a
all
shit
promotion
anything.
For his brand, which
Absolutely.
Is him.
Absolutely.
It's the totally
Donald
that.
Trump
you know,
is what he's.
And then I just wonder.
Yes.
So he's like, I'm going to treat it like a business where I don't care if I lose customers because I'm just going to cater to the customers I want,
uh-huh.
which is different than every other politician. And I wonder
absolutely.
I wonder if it could be a winning strategy. I don't know that he's like, okay, this is the primaries. I don't need to win everybody over. I just need to win enough, you know, rabid people that I know are going to show up.
But does he honestly believe that he'll win the presidency, or is he really just winning viewers for his next?
That's what I think his goal is.
I think that's his
motivation.
Yeah.
And then if he wins the presidency by accident, so be it. But I think that's his motivation.
We're fucked. That's what that means. but the biggest thing that happens with Donald Trump right now is it's no loss for Trump. In that he knows that this is the problem with the Republican Party right now is in their primaries, they have different people voting in the primaries. They have very right side, radical thinking, conservative people voting in primaries, and that they get to choose the handful of people who will run on their side. You're getting radical people right now. You're getting people who have never held a public office ever.
Yeah, they're two front runners.
leading the cause right now for the Republicans.
Yeah.
And the Republicans are like, holy crap, what are our primary people thinking right now? Because when it comes to a general election, we now then have to pick the best candidate of our crazies to run against.
If Trump loses Iowa, though, it's going to be the greatest concession speech of all time.
Oh, absolutely.
You people are so stupid.
Yeah. What were you guys thinking?
You have ruined it for you. Ben Carson is an asshole.
You have destroyed America, Iowa.
It's going to be
destroyed America. But the whole point is...
Concession's the wrong word that he'll describe what he's going to say.
I figured out that for the last three elections, the people who vote in primaries are completely different than the people who actually...
Well, I think they know that, and I think they're scared about that, but there's nothing they can do about it.
They haven't fixed it, and that's going to be a problem for them.
Yeah,
so,
but there was what was this stat I just heard?
That's going to be a problem for them.
So this was back in, what was it, 68? Was it Nixon in that one? I can't remember.
We weren't born yet, Steve.
The fact that you were alive or not alive doesn't matter. The fact that the point was there were 60% voter turnout. So Dion's talking about the primary, which is this tiny little percentage of voters that show up,
mm-hmm.
which is only slightly better than the actual election.
Mm-hmm.
That what is it with Americans that just there are smart people, there are people that have a voice that let this noise own the media, own the airwaves, own the primary process, own the election.
Yeah.
This is my biggest problem is that people don't care enough to actually show up and have an opinion anymore, right?
Yeah.
So it's a sad state of affairs, and the politics that we complain about, in my opinion, you know, yes, absolutely, we shouldn't pay attention to this and that and the other thing, but the masses just throw up their hands and say, fuck it, I got nothing.
Yeah, what's the matter?
It's not even the
masses.
And
they don't participate anymore.
So, I mean, not to get, we're getting very political, North American, USA political, but, you know, I watch Meet the Press, which is horrible to admit. But basically what he said was, nobody's stepping up to call out these crazy ideas that Trump throws out, that Ben Carson throws out. Nobody on the other side of the political party is even objecting to it. They're just letting it...
Like, you mean the Democrats aren't? Or?
No. The Republican Party. So, you know, the Ted Cruz's,
oh, you mean
Cruises,
like a Republican?
Rubios,
oh, yeah,
all
yeah,
the other
yeah,
people
yeah.
are just letting these crazy comments, like, hang out there to see... Let's see what Trump throws some crazy thing out there about registering every Muslim. Well, why don't we just see how people respond before I say anything? Because before I call Trump crazy, why don't I see if my party thinks it is, and then maybe I'll say something.
But that's a lack of backbone. The ridiculous thing
where it's like, are you serious? You won't register somebody who owns a gun, but you want to register everybody who's a Muslim, and then you won't admit that this is exactly what happened in, you know,
Nazi Germany
or what we did during World War II and all these other comparisons that people don't want to talk about, but because people are scared and the Republicans like live on fear for their party, they live on fear for all of their voters. That's how they scare people into voting for them.
I don't want
to get into it. This is ultra political.
I'm glad you don't want to get into it. They scare
people into voting because if you think pro-life, you
don't
think
get
guns,
me started.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't get me started.
Yeah, yeah. Let's kill babies.
The number of Republicans that have shit on my face. They're shitting on America's face right now.
Oh, bring it back home.
Oh, no, I can't even finish.
Do you want to talk vendor scum?
Why don't we do this? But yeah, we'll bring it back to invasive species and we'll talk about vendor scum here.
That's right. So yeah. I actually had a slow week. I'm not sure what happened with my vendor scum, but Dion actually has
Dion,
a
Dion, you had a good one that you shared
wants
with
to
us.
Share with us this week.
Oh my God, the vendor scum
Can
that
you
I
find
got
that?
This
Are
week.
You able to
yes,
find
this
that?
Is a good one.
This is a good one.
So
it's a pun-filled, timely vendor scum.
Did I share the whole thing? Because, you know, I pretty much passed it out. But essentially it was, you know...
Do you have it? Can you read it verbatim? Or
I got to find it.
Oh, okay.
All right, before we... You look for that.
Yeah.
So Thanksgiving, greatest holiday. We already covered that.
Yep.
All the other holidays suck. We shouldn't even have them.
Too diluted.
Thanksgiving holiday... family time, everybody hanging around the table. What are you doing this weekend?
My mother-in-law is visiting. We're having Thanksgiving dinner at a friend's, and then I think we're just hanging out. I don't think we have any plans.
So you're
really.
Not going to the Dirty Dozen and shopping all evening or whatever?
Oh, God, no. No. I would never do that at all. I hate shopping. I hate driving. I hate
John,
all
what
that
are you doing?
Stuff.
You're hosting.
I'm hosting people at our house, but we're not actually doing the hosting the dinner.
Oh, okay.
So we just have people going to be sleeping in every room of the house.
Okay.
And more dogs.
But you're going somewhere for Thanksgiving.
Yes, we'll be in the suburbs of Lamont.
Oh, sweet, sweet.
Yes.
I am also hosting a dinner. I generally host a dinner for my family, but this year my sister is, for whatever reason, decided that she's not going to be with her children for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
She's going to go to some friend's thing, and so it's going to be a little awkward on Thursday. We're all going to be there. She's going to come for a snack, but then she's bailing, and her children are staying with me for Thanksgiving.
Could you Periscope that so we can watch
I
how
will
that
Periscope.
Goes?
Actually, yeah. Dion, could you come by and Periscope?
That's what I do.
So you've caught up with the vendor scum deal.
Yeah, so you know I saw a Turkey football insider threat email in my inbox, and I was like, well, what's this? And it says, hey, Dion, while eating turkey and watching some football, I imagine preventing insider threat and user behavior analytics will come up as a hot topic. yada, yada, yada.
Dia, could you lead us in prayer? Lord, thank you for this meal before us and controlling insider information that is...
the insider threat and user behavior analytics.
And the average wait time for our end users.
Please
thank you, Lord.
Prevent us from the insider threat. So, essentially, he's like, you know, this could happen to anybody anytime. But does it make sense to carve out some time for 15-minute discussion on the insider threat? Quote, unquote, pun intended.
Quote, unquote, pun intended.
Thanks, Matt.
Should ask him if he wants to do a conference call on Thursday night during dinner. Matt.
You know, Matt, I'm going to get our CIO involved. We're really worried about the insider threats.
No, I think roping him into your, like, dinner prayer is a perfect
Matt,
idea.
Matt, would you come break bread with us this Thursday?
Oh, my God.
Or you should send him, like, a pun one. Matt, you are my Navajo farmer. I am but a pilgrim. A washed away from a sea of insider threats.
Save me from...
Yeah.
I can't grow.
If you want our business, behavior. You have to come give Sunday or Thursday prayer.
Oh, his name's Matt.
Oh, jeez, that's great.
That's brilliant.
That's a good one. That
I love saying pun intended for the most obvious pun.
Yes, let's carve out some time on Thanksgiving.
Pun intended.
Oh, that's our weekly.
Well, thanks for
this week's Vendor Scums brought to you by.
We're not allowed to say, right?
Yeah. No reason to embarrass
the guy. Why don't we throw breaking news?
So we talked a little bit about this earlier. Sean might be thinking about an Xbox for his...
No way.
Oh, sure.
Well, maybe that's my kid's big ask. So then it's just a question if we can justify it or not.
So I will say, if you don't have a gaming console yet, besides...
We have a Wii.
You have a Wii with all of that craziness that I can't even get into. But if you do decide to get into another console of craziness, Xbox is the way to go. And I played Battlefront this weekend. So good.
Yeah.
Very entertaining. If you're a Star Wars fan, you feel like you're in the movie. You feel like you're, you know, it's the graphics.
How hard would it be for an 8-year-old and a 5-year-old? 5-year-old might be impossible.
The 8-year-old will dominate your 5-year-old, but the 8-year-old will understand and be able to play.
No, would the 5-year-old be able to even navigate it? And figure it out?
Yeah. It's not crazy.
But there's also like driving games and things that.
Yeah, I know that we'd eventually get games. Yeah.
You can do Forza. You can do the whole Disney Marvel Infinity.
Yeah, well, and they have all those Skylanders, and you could just buy the Xbox disc, and then it could, you know, the portal and the figures work on any platform.
Do they really?
I do think.
Yeah, once you have.
Yeah.
The portal's supposed to work on any platform. It's USB, and it's supposed to plug into any platform, and all your figures are supposed to work on any platform, and the upgrades that you have achieved are supposed to be recognized on any. Because the upgrade, there's a chip in the figure. You're really just supposed to need the disc to hop between platforms.
That's cool. Yeah. Waiting a couple of years before I have to get into that world. Right. Now.
Avoid it at all costs, man, because it's such a money racket. You know those characters.
It does seem so cool.
It's cool. It's just it's priced just beyond the point where it could be cool. Now, if you wait, I will say this:
used? Why can't you buy used?
That's the thing. As long as you're two games behind their current one. It's actually great because then you buy them used.
Yeah.
And you can get them used for like $2 or $3. You know, it's like buying a Matchbox car almost. But if you're on the current level, and that's the nice thing about us, we're actually four games behind them.
Oh, geez. Like for pennies, you're buying.
And I've actually been buying them. Luckily, we jumped into like the third of seven games. So I've been buying the games backwards to give them a new game so they get these new worlds off even cheaper, you know, things. But yeah, it's an extremely expensive thing if you want to stay bleeding edge. But you're willing to like let it.
Well, and your kids are cool with that, so they don't have friends that they're trying. This is what the other thing we talked about was, like, as soon as you get into the online gaming world, all of a sudden there's like the haves and have-nots.
Yeah, they're not in the online gaming world yet, so you know.
But as soon as you get there,
that's a game changer.
Yeah.
What is cool, it's very Dungeons and Dragons like, you know, and it's the Skylanders with the exact figures and the figurines and everything. And the other nice thing about it is, like, are when they're young, like if Emma, you know, your daughter used it, they will actually play with it, like kind of offline too.
Yeah.
Like they'll just play with the figurines too. Like yeah. they play with them as their toys. But yeah, that's like what Disney's doing with Infinity, you know, with all the Star Wars guys.
Well, I mean, well, Disney owns everything.
They own everything now.
Everything Marvel, everything Star Wars.
Yeah, so you have like Mr. Incredible Disney. Fighting Darth Vader,
yes.
Jack
yeah.
Sparrow,
yeah,
and Daredevil. It's like the weirdest
from the
fight, you know,
Disney,
and
Marvel,
Mary
Star
Poppins.
Wars.
Like, it's like the weirdest fight in the world,
well,
you know.
But Mary Poppins wins.
How imaginative time. And creative and cool is that, that you can go into some sort of like battle game where you're like, I'm just going to pick almost anything
yeah.
on earth to go into battle with this. And mm-hmm. you're
God damn Mary Poppins with that umbrella yeah. beats me every time.
Yeah. What's Dick Van Dyke's character? Because that was, yeah.
The chimney sweep?
Yeah. Kick ass. So, I just think that's very cool. But I'm trying to wait because, like you said, each character is $9 to like $16.
Oh, for Disney Infinity.
For brand new.
Yeah.
And then, but used, it's anywhere from $1 to like $5.
It's reasonable, especially if you can yeah. do like something like yeah. Mom Mail or yeah.
but
you
that's
know, something
kinda
like
cool
that.
In that, like, instead of buying just like an action figure, you're buying them that. But then this whole Lego thing is like throwing me off, too.
Lego is outrageously expensive now. I don't think. They couldn't have been that expensive when we were growing up.
But they're
up,
the
Lego.
Exact same thing.
But when
though.
We were growing up, they were just basic packs. Like, they weren't licensed. The Star Wars Legos?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I remember.
Yeah.
Going, we did this volunteer thing where we, you know, we sponsor a family for Christmas. So I was at Target Saturday with Colin, and we're buying. And, you know, he lists the things that he wants as a toy. And, you know, we got to get all these clothes. And you can spend, I think, $120. So you got to budget it everything because you got to get, like, X amount of pants and shoot, mm-hmm. you know, X amount of toys out of these things. And he said he liked Legos. And luckily, we were able to find, like, these... basically this really cool thing where it could be a snake, a dragon, and that kind of stuff's still a good deal because I think that's not licensed. It's just Lego. The Lego vehicle for the Emperor's shuttle in Return of the Jedi, and it's not giant or anything, was $100.
Oh, yeah.
For one vehicle. It's ridiculous.
It's,
I was like, oh my god, this is outrageous.
Well,
I was like, what the fuck is the Death Star cost?
Oh, that thing's,
I mean, if yeah, the yeah. shuttle's $100, so, the Death Star must be more than my car.
Just building the Legos alone is expensive. Now, combine the Disney Xbox world with Legos, where you construct the character that you put on the pad, which
yeah.
plugs into the world, and then you get to do it. So now, not only do you just have to buy the character for $7, it looks like a cool statue. No. You buy the Lego version where you have to put it together for like twice the money, then plug it into your Xbox, and then you get to play as that character. Like that, that was the part that like throttled my mind.
Yeah. It's kind of amazing how Lego figured out, though, with those licensing deals, how much more money they could make, you know.
Yeah, yeah. It's nuts.
Crazy.
I will say, though, those Lego Star Wars specials are hilarious.
Oh, yeah, those are good.
They're
yeah.
really funny to watch. They're
ones.
Yeah, they're Droid Tales is very funny. The Yoda Chronicles are even funnier, in my opinion. Mm.
Well, the Droid Tales ones are half hour, will tell you the entire story of one of the six Star Wars
yeah.
movies in 30 minutes.
Yeah.
C-3PO will tell you the entire movie with side jokes.
Yeah, it's done in a lampooning fashion where,
it's
like, they're
so
making
funny.
Fun of, like,
so funny.
You know, the fact that Luke Skywalker always whines, you know, or that Obi-Wan, when he
the
went
scene,
into hiding, just called himself Ben Kenobi. And, like, that was, you know,
yeah.
as inventive
as this.
Why did
you just call yourself Ben? Why are you Obi-Wan? But
yeah.
the best scene that one of the first ones I saw was, you know, it's the Luke and Darth Vader at the end of the thing where he's like, Luke, I am your father. And he's like, no, you're not. And he's like, yes, I am. He's like, no, you're not. And he's like, Luke, listen to me. I swear to God, I'm your father. If you don't listen to me right now. And he gets in this whole father like tone. And Luke's like, oh, my God, you are my father. Like, oh, my God. You know, and just like this whole
yeah,
like,
it is funny,
no, you're
yeah.
not. Like, yes, I am.
So
no,
what
you're
are,
not.
What are Yoda Chronicles? What
Yoda Chronicles.
They're older, but yeah.
They were made a few years ago, and they're supposed to like they're just in this alternate universe, like sort of where it's kind of in between Star Wars and Empire Strikes Back, where Luke is training to be a Jedi and like the Empire is after him. But then it's like not necessarily faithful to like the whole like canon thing, because right. they'll have different characters come in and out. But it's really funny, you know, and there's like a lot of in jokes. And so if you're a big Star Wars fan, you'll get every joke, like just like an in joke, for example. Like, I would laugh at a lot of things my kids just don't under. Like there's this one scene where like Han, they're all in like the Millennium Falcon and they're going into an asteroid belt, and C-3PO is like, oh my God, like, you know, or somebody goes, does anybody know what the odds are of surviving in an asteroid belt? And C-3PO goes, I don't know, but if we survive this, I'm going to look it up. You know, so that he can say it in Empire Strikes Back, and like a lot of jokes like that, you know, and it's pretty funny. Yeah, it's cool. Definitely a comedy, but then the action scenes are kind of cool too, but it's definitely a comedy.
Yoda Chronicles, and yours was
the Droid Tales. There's like eight Droid Tales, and what they do is they do all six movies. They do one before the movies start, like before Episode One, and then one that precedes Episode, you know, six, where it's like after everybody celebrating, and it's kind of funny because it's like, and you know, Return of the Jedi, where they're all on. You know, the Ewoks are partying and all this stuff, and then somebody steals R2-D2, and C-3PO is like, oh my God, you just stole R2-D2. We just won the war. What do you? Who's stealing R2-D2? We just won the war. And then, you know, not spoiler alert, it's Lando Calrissian, because he, you know, he's a smuggler, he's a scoundrel, and it's just like, oh, even though we just won the war, you still have to like go make money, and it's very.
So are the new ones gonna suck?
I think they're going to be disappointing, but I don't know. We'll see. I don't know. I'm optimistic. We'll see. Yeah.
Doesn't sound like you're optimistic. I think they'll suck, but I'm optimistic.
I don't think they'll suck. I think they're going to be disappointing. But I will say this. I don't like rewatching the prequels, but when they came out and I watched them, granted I was younger, I did enjoy them. So
one, two, and three?
Yeah. So it might be one of those things where it takes a few rewatchings for me to be like, this isn't as good as the originals.
I mean, three was
See it. Because the thing about like 1, 2, and 3 is
really
even though they weren't as good as Star Wars, like they're still like good movies. Like if you just saw Phantom Menace and Star Wars never came along and that was just a movie you saw on a Friday night, you'd be like, wow, that was pretty good.
I just watched, I was telling these guys earlier, so we've been watching the machete sequence. I don't know if you know what that is. So what they did was some guy came up with this path. He went, Phantom Menace sucked, acting sucked, all of it sucked, none of it mattered, it didn't really influence the story, here's the way you need to watch these movies.
So
watch number four, which is The New Hope, the basically where it started. Watch number five, Empire Strikes Back, which, you know, is great, and you get the reveal of Darth is your father, thing, right?
Yeah.
Then you go back to two, three, and then
six.
Watch six.
Yeah,
so basically, you get a
and you never watch one
back.
Yeah, yeah.
To who is Anakin Skywalker?
Yeah,
sure.
Never watch one. Watch two, three, and then six.
Yeah.
So I just watched number two.
Yeah.
And I could have spent. It was not worth my time. So we're doing this with my youngest.
But you've already seen two before, right?
I've seen it before.
Yeah.
But the point was, let's go through this and we'll do the machete sequence before we go to the movie.
I actually think two is the weakest of them all. I thought Phantom Menace was better than two.
Off. I mean, up until the last battle where something starts to happen.
That's where we talked.
Yeah.
It was just.
I think two's the most boring because a lot of it's setting up Anakin and.
But half of it's
what's
boring.
Her name,
half of it's amazing.
It's terrible.
You can't say the Colosseum and the Yoda fight and the end of that movie. The last 45 minutes of that movie are great.
Yes.
The first 45 minutes of that are like, really, I'm going to snore fest here because you guys want to like, do you want to make out and have a baby or not? Like, what's happening?
Yeah.
I would give you maybe the last 30 minutes. The last 45, I don't know.
30 minutes.
The final scene is entertaining, you know.
Yeah, but that for it just was
so
painful.
Much.
Yeah, but I actually think I think the first one's not that bad.
I really think it's so much
is
revealed in that
so
second
bad.
One.
The actor is
Hayden Christensen is
bad.
Is really bad in that. And
well, the other thing I want to bring up on this podcast, since we're talking Star Wars in this depth, is the whole Jar Jar was a Sith and destroy the entire universe thing, because I think that's hilarious. And
did you see this?
I've heard about this fan theory.
I want J.J. Abrams to basically go back and make Jar Jar the biggest nemesis that ever happened to the
So he went in a totally different path.
I know.
And like
I want
you want in a week's time J.J. Abrams to go, you know what, I'm really sorry, we're not going to release this. I apologize to everybody, we're not going here. Give us another year and a half.
No, we'll, but...
2017, you'll get your movie. Holiday time 2017, we're all in.
We're rewriting it because of,
you
give the Reddit ID of the guy who proposes it.
In 30 seconds, you could basically say that Jar Jar was the master of some Padawan who inspired the Sith. There's, you know, there always is two, and it was Jar Jar and somebody, and then boom, you're done.
He just came out saying that I got like six things that I have to finish, tidy up this, that, whatever. I got six things, and then it's out the door. So maybe that's one of the six.
No. Anyways, I thought it was great. I enjoyed it. And if JJ wants to do that in the next three movies, I would enjoy it.
I hope I'm not disappointed.
Yeah, I hope not. I think getting George Lucas to not write it will be good. I think, you know, he didn't write Empire, which is universally considered, I feel, the best one.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll see.
Should be good.
All right, well, go buy Battlefront, and I'll see you. My gamer tag is PRF Xbox.
Prefer Xbox. Okay,
Professor Xbox.
Professor Xbox.
Yes, PRF Xbox.
So if you're looking for, you know, gaming, there you go. So John, how are you? Was this too much Geek Fest for you?
Yeah, I kind of zoned out. Sorry.
Poor John.
I lost interest.
It's quite all right. I think many people did. Well, I guess we're just going to say thank you all for listening once again. We are the Worldwide IT Guys. WWITGuys.com. Catch you later.
See you
Thanksgiving.
Bye, guys.